under stress, all these things, you know, and they're grieving for various reasons. And I thought about that and I said, Lord, are we supposed to focus on those things? If we focus on those things, don't we take away from your glory and your honor? So then I asked, I came up with a couple of comments that, you know, you've all heard. One of them is garbage in, garbage out. So if you keep feeding your life, filling your mind, filling your heart with these kind of things, then you're going to be consistently, constantly, always in despair. The other one is you are what you eat. What are you feeding your spirit? What are you taking in each and every day? I know we have to work our jobs, true, but we don't work 24/7. There's times in our day that we have the opportunity and the ability to feed our spirit. How do we do that? We look back to the Word of God. It's just like junk food. You eat a lot of junk food, it's not good for your body. Well, you feed your spirit with junk, and you concentrate on the grief. You concentrate on that negativity, then that's what you're going to end up expressing to others, and that's what you're going to live. I don't know about you, but life's too short for me to live that way. I don't want to live in negativity. I don't want to live in grief and sorrow. So you have to ask yourself, and I'll ask you, are you surrounding yourself with positive influences? More importantly, are you surrounding yourselves with positive people? You know, I've been around a lot of people that all they do is complain, can say nothing good. My wife has a favorite expression. She's happy because she's on this side of the dirt. Simple thing to say, but you know what? These people that I get around, they're complaining, they have no life. They're focusing on all of this negativity. They don't feed their spirit with positive things. They don't surround themselves with positive people. Another expression I know all of you heard, some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I don't really see that that it's important to be so earthly good. I think we should be heavenly minded, and I think Scripture tells us we should be heavenly minded. Just a few I came up with, and there's the Scripture's filled with them. Matthew 6, verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up here for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So, maybe I want to be so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. I want to concentrate on my destiny. I want to concentrate on the good things that are going to feed me, that my heart will be with Him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, "Brethren, join in the following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have as us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of Mashiach, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait the Messiah, Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able to even subdue all things to Himself." We need to be transformed to be like-minded with Him. Because we can't leave this world with our mindset and enter into His presence. We have to have His mind. We have to have His thoughts, His wisdom, His understanding within us. And it needs to become so that it's so natural to us, we don't have to think about it. We start doing those things that transform us into His nature. James chapter 3 talks about wisdom. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We look at people, especially people from the past, educated people, brilliant people, and we try to follow after their wisdom. But is their wisdom a godly wisdom? Are we seeking after the wisdom that we read in books from people that are not godly? That's not from above. That's not a wisdom from God. That's not the wisdom we should seek after. That's not the life we should be living. We should be living a godly life, seeking after the things that are heavenly, the things from above. And I hate to say it like this, some people have gotten so wrapped up in all of the bad things that have happened in their lives, or the bad things that are happening in their lives, they think they're stuck with it. They think that that's all they can do. That's the best that they can expect from life. So they live the rest of their lives still holding on and dwelling on those negative things. Again, surround yourself with positive influence, positive people, and you will not fall into that. I don't know about you, but there's some times when, you know, matter of fact, it's probably almost every morning, I wake up singing praises, okay? I don't know about you, but if you do that, can you think bad thoughts when you're singing praises to Adonai? Because I can't. When I start the day like that, I have a good attitude. And as I've talked about in the past, the whole thing about how do I pray? Do I pray kneeling? Do I pray sitting? Do I pray standing? Do I pray laying out before the Lord? Yes, 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 yes. Because you know what? It's not your position, it's your attitude. The attitude of your heart. And that's what it's all about. That's what revival is all about. The revival is about changing your heart to be like God's heart. That's simple as that. And as simple as it sounds, some people find great difficulty in achieving that. So contrary to what you might think, you do have a choice. Those that are dwelling in the negativity, that are dwelling in the grief and the sorrow and any whatever's keeping them down, you do have a choice. You can keep on doing that. You can keep listening to negative people. You can keep listening to the negative statements that other people make. You can associate yourself with those type of people that all they speak and all they do is negative. Or you can change your way of thinking, acting, and being. How do you do that? First, you start talking to or hanging out with, being around people that have a positive, healthy outlook. Have a positive, healthy conversation. Displaying healthy, positive actions. Because as the saying goes, association brings about assimilation. You start putting yourself in those situations with those type of people, you start thinking like them, talking like them, acting like them. Also, start reading Scripture more. You may read Scripture every day. You may say, well, you know, I read Scripture in the morning, I read Scripture in the evening. Okay, read in the afternoon. Add that in. You can never read too much of God's Word. If that's going to help you boost your knowledge and your understanding of exactly what He desires from you and what He desires you to do. I wish sometimes that I could go to a person and ask for and get the secret to reach the ultimate stage of revival. But nobody has that. Because you know, we're all individuals. We all get there a little bit differently. But the common denominator we have is Him, the Lord God. He will be the one to bring about that change in you, but you have to seek it. What else can you? You can talk to God more often. What does that mean? What am I saying? I'm saying pray. We went through this morning talking about the Amida, the 19 prayers. That's a good place to start. You find out all the prayers that are in this. You can look at any siddur and you would find all of those prayers. And you pray them in your private time. You pray them with your wife, with your children. And you start bringing yourself closer to an understanding of God and what He wants. Now, I said I wasn't going to say this, but it has to be said. Because there is some definition I need to throw in here. Because I'm not talking about the kind of prayer when you go before God and you moan and you complain about all the bad stuff that's happening. But there is a time for things like that. But what I'm talking about is developing a relationship. Anyone here that is a parent or a grandparent or both knows that every time the kids come to you and they whine and complain and you get tired of hearing that from your kids. But when they come to you and they want to talk to you, they come to you and say, oh, come with me and play ball, or come with me and help me with my homework. That's what you love, that they come to you and they seek your advice, they seek your assistance. But too often they come with complaints or something they want. I want to do this. I need this. I need this. I need this. Well, I need a break from that, okay? Come back to me after you decide you want to talk to me about something that I want to talk about because you're dragging me down. Well, I look at the picture like that thinking, how many times are we dragging God down? Because we're not coming to Him thankful. We're not coming to Him prayerful, but we're just laying our burdens on Him. Again, there's nothing wrong with that, and there is a time and place for that. And that's not what we're talking about right now. What I'm talking about is a type of prayer where you talk about what He means to you. You talk about how thankful you are, what He's given you or done for you. Talking about the type of prayer where He is the focus, not you. I'm talking about a type of prayer that we've just been doing this morning, worshiping and praising Him. You'll notice that almost every song that we sang this morning was from the Psalms. That's a very good place to start when you're praising God, when you're worshiping Him, when you're praying to Him. I heard it said like this, that give Him back His word. Open up the Psalms. Start quoting some of the Psalms. Make it personal. Where King David may name names, put your name in there. There's nothing wrong with that. But honor Him. Make Him number one. You know, there's a song out there that says, you know, the words are, I like talking about you usually, but occasionally I want to talk about me. I think that's what God's saying. I want to talk about me. Talk to me. I'll give you the desires of your heart, but even though He is technically a mind reader, He doesn't want to just go around reading our minds. He wants us to vocalize our praises. He wants us to vocalize our petitions. We need to sing songs of praise and adoration. And guess what? You don't have to wait till you walk in these doors and the worship team gets up and starts playing and singing. You can do it anytime. In your home, in your car. I mean, I don't know about you, but I get strange looks from some people when I'm driving down the road singing praises to Adonai, which is kind of odd because a lot of them are singing from the along with the radio, but they're looking at me odd because I'm singing praises to Adonai. They don't know what I'm singing, but I get odd looks from them. So what? What I wish they would do is pull up to a stoplight. What are you singing? Oh, let me tell you what I'm singing, but they never ask. But just do it yourself. Do it yourself. What you sing in praises and hymns and songs of adoration to your God, between you and Him. We do it corporately so that we have that sense of community. But it doesn't always have to be that way. I spoke a message before where some people feel when they walk through the door, that's when they have to start getting ready for worship. Should be ready for worship 7 days a week. Every waking moment, we should be ready to worship God. Now, am I saying that that's going to erase all the negative things that happen? No, there's going to be some things that happen. There's nothing you could do about it. We live here on this earth. We live in a society that brings about turmoil. But it's how you deal with it. You become absorbed with it, or you associate with other things and other people that put that to the side and bring God back to the forefront. So it's all about attitude. It just comes back to that one thing, attitude. What is your attitude about it? Again, you could stay wallowing in your sorrow, but I don't know about you, but I got better things to do. God's got better things for me to do. If we could only learn how to redirect our thoughts and feelings and words and actions. Okay, that adds up to what? Our lives. Focusing on Him. There would be less stress, fewer heart attacks, less depression. You go ahead and name the ailment. And you notice I didn't say there would be none of these things. I would never go that far. I only said it'd be lessened because by God's grace, He'll bring about peace. He'll relieve the stress. He'll relieve the tension that causes these things, heart attacks, strokes, what have you. You know, a lot of that's brought on by ourselves as people because we dwell in those things. And we don't go after those things that bring peace into our hearts and our lives, into our bodies. Because He will bring a more peaceful life for us. And that really is the bottom line. Because with His peace, none of those things are really important. If we're dwelling in His peace, we're enveloping ourselves in His praise, in His worship, it really doesn't matter if this guy cut you off on the freeway on the way in here today. I mean, how many times is that going to happen to you in a week's time, in a month, in a year, in a week, the rest of your life? Are you going to, every time someone cuts you off, dwell on the fact that he cut you off? Or are you going to keep on singing the songs of praise and let them look at you strangely because they cut you off, but you seem to be singing. It didn't even bother you, and it shouldn't bother us. And I know it's hard because we are in these bodies of flesh. But you know what makes it hard? We've become accustomed to reacting to our surroundings. Again, it's about changing our attitude, changing our heart. Yeah, we're accustomed to it, but you know what? Let's cut it off. That's what revival is. Revival is coming back around. Revival is putting all those other things aside and coming into a closer relationship with God. My wife likes to quote somebody. I think Charlene even has a quote up on her refrigerator or something. Somebody once said, that worship is something that you not something you can wait to do. It's something you can't wait to do. Well, I want to borrow from that quote and expand it a little bit. And I want to say prayer is not something you wait to do. It's something you can't wait to do. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to do just that. We're going to spend some time praying, praising, continue to worship God. If a psalm comes to your heart, quote that psalm. If another scripture comes to heart that brings honor and praise and glory to God, quote it. That's what we're here to do today, is to praise and honor Him. So it's not about us, but it is about us. Because without us, He doesn't receive the praise. But remember what He did say. He said, if people don't open their mouths, the rocks will cry out. The trees, the birds of the air will praise Him. I'm looking out there right now. I've noticed this before. And I see the trees swaying in the breeze. I imagine their hands waving before the Most High. I don't want that tree to give him more praise than I can. I don't want to be beat by a rock in praising God. I want to be the one giving him the praise. I want him to appreciate my praise because I appreciate him. So, for the next few minutes, we're going to do that. I want to start off with Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. Its rising is from the one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping with them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. So let's all stand while as we praise and worship God. I ask the worship team to come back up. Again, if you feel a psalm or a scripture in your heart, speak it out. Speak to God. Don't speak to each other. This time's all about him. We're here to honor him. We're here to praise him. We're here to pray to him. We're here to worship him. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart are to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the high places of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is in vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you.
Psalm 45. My heart overflows. Actually, it begins with, for the choir director, according to the Shonashim, a maskil of the sons of Korah, a song of love. My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my words to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer, for thou art fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured out upon thy lips. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. The peoples fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of joy above all fellows, and all thy garments are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. King's daughters are among thy noble ladies. Listen, O daughter, give attention, incline your ear. Then the king will desire your beauty.
Revival begin with each and every one of us individually in our own hearts. Let revival begin by our praises and by our prayers to you. Let revival come through our praises and our prayers.
Holy, holy, holy.
I'll stand as we continue worshiping God.